Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Hannah!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Hannah!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Hannah!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
who's
come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
The
Rand McCoy.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
ooh,
come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Anna.
The Rand McCoy.
Welcome to the Anna McCoy Show. I am excited to share with you today. I've been thinking about this all week. Is entrepreneurship right for you, ladies? Listen, today we're going to be talking about, would you be able to manage your own enterprise? We're going to talk about the reasons why businesses fail, the type of characteristics that you should possess, the hard questions that you should be asking yourself, and ultimately, I'm going to share with you some of the reasons why businesses fail, and in addition to that, we're going to celebrate and talk about why we succeed and how beneficial it is to you to give birth to your dream and your vision. I know that there are many of you who may be listening today and you're trying to figure this thing out. Maybe you've been in your job for a long time, you've been an executive, you've been an assistant, you have some great skills and talents, but you really just don't understand how to transition from being an employee to an employer. The first thing that we have to do is I need you to really answer some tough questions, and I want you to think about it. I want you to be honest with yourself, because this is where most of us fail. We're really not honest with ourselves. We don't possess the motivation or the enthusiasm or the initiative to really take the lead to give birth to our dreams and our vision. So listen, like I said, there are no guarantees in business, and there's simply no way to eliminate the risk. You are one who will take the calculated risk. And what that really means is that you must consider the risk factors involved, and then you are going to take an educated risk, meaning that we can't guarantee that everything's going to work out, but one of the things that we will do is we will reduce our limitations and be able to move forward in a more logical and systematic way. First, you have to start by evaluating your strengths and your weaknesses as a potential owner and manager of a small business. I'm going to ask you these hard questions, ladies. And these are not questions that you haven't heard before, but I want to really provoke you to think about, do you really have what it takes to be an entrepreneur? Do you have the skills? Do you have the ability? Do you have the relationships? Do you have the courage to really step out on your own dream and vision? Are you a self-starter? Come on, be honest with me. Are you a self-starter? I mean, who's dragging you out the bed in the morning? Okay, I know you've got three kids. You're dragging them all and you're knocking your husband over. Whatever you've got to do, you seem to get it done. This is the key, ladies. When it comes to you, the things that are important to you, where do they fit on your burners? Are they on the back burner? Are they on the front? Do you really do what's important to you? Or are you constantly being pushed and encouraged and motivated and trying to find someone to confirm your reality? You know, it's going to be entirely up to you to develop projects, organize your time, and follow through on details. Number two, ladies, how well do you get along with different personalities? Perhaps you're in a position of leadership now, but you might have a few layers of relationships or what I call padding before you have to deal with people and their real problems. I mean, come on, you know the folks you work with. They got real issues. But you, as a business owner, you're going to be so much closer to the emotional, the duress, what's important to people. You're going to be in relationship with the people that you work with on a very personal level. And you're going to have to learn how to develop, number one, working relationships with a variety of people, not just your employees. You're going to have to develop relationships with your customers, with your vendors, with your staff, with bankers, professionals such as your lawyers, your accountants, or maybe some consultants or outsourcing that you may do. Can you deal with a demanding client? That's a question. Can you? Or an unreliable vendor? The one who didn't get it done, how are you going to deal with it? Are you passive? Are you aggressive? Will you stand up? Will you let barriers stop you from reaching your goal? Or perhaps a cranky receptionist? doesn't care who you are and isn't going to let you get to the next person? Do you really have what it takes to overcome some of the barriers that you're going to experience? Well, how good are you at making decisions? We're required to make decisions constantly. Often, we must make them quickly, independently. Who are our thought leaders? Who are our thought tanks that are around us? Nobody. Usually, it is us, or maybe you have a partner, but you're going to have to do it under extreme pressure sometimes. And are you able to do this? Is entrepreneurship, ladies, really for you? Do you have the physical and the emotional stamina to run a business? Are you healthy? Do you exercise? Do you have the energy? You know, owning your own business can be extremely exciting. It could be rewarding. But let me tell you, it is a lot of work, a lot of long hours, a lot of time. Can you face a 12-hour workday every week, week after week? Like I said, these are the questions. Can you do it? Is entrepreneurship really for you? How well do you plan and organize? Come on, ladies, now. How well do you do this? Research shows that poor planning is responsible for most business failures. Good organization of financials, inventory, schedules, and production can help you avoid many pitfalls. Oftentimes, individuals ask me, you know, they say, you know, Ms. McCoy, I've got a dream, I've got a vision. I say, well, do you have it written down? They go, no. Almost, I have a couple of pages. The key to planning and organizing is really thinking about what you want to do, is setting goals and reaching them, getting through that gap between what you think and what you do. You know, that gap is execution. Do you really have the ability to execute on your dream? Is your drive strong enough, ladies? Running a business can wear you down emotionally. This is one thing I must tell you, is when you're starting a business, you're not just doing it yourself. If you are married, are in a relationship with a partner, you're not just doing this and having it your way and going about your dream and vision. Your decisions are going to affect everyone in your family. And if you have a husband or a mate who perhaps have started a business, you know exactly what I'm talking about, how difficult it can be on your family time, your family finances, and also the emotional toll that it will place on your family. But I'm asking you, do you have the drive? Is your drive strong enough? Some of us burn out too quickly. Why? Because we carry the greatest responsibility for success of our businesses. It's on our shoulders, not anyone else's. If you get agreement from your mate, from your partner, they're really looking to you to make this thing work. So it's going to require a very strong motivation that will help you to survive during the periods of slowdowns or the periods of burnout that you feel that you really can't do this anymore. I want a job. I can't tell you how many times I said that. Boy, how great it would be just to get a job. Somebody give me a job. Let me go to work. At least I don't have to worry about that phone call or trying to figure out where that check is going to come from. But you can't give up, ladies. That's why you're going to need to have a very strong drive to make it through the tough times. Now, as I said, how will the business affect your family? The first few years of your business startup can really be hard on your family life. I mean, are you really clear about what you want to do and what it's going to take? You know, it's really important for family members to know what to expect and for you to be able to trust that they will support you during this time. Most of us, when we fail, we look at our partners or our family members and we say, well, you didn't support me anyway. Well, yeah, they did. But did you do everything in your power to make it happen? Were you able to organize? Were you able to plan? Were you really strong enough? Did you really have what it took? Did you really give it enough forethought before you jumped off the boat? There are also some financial difficulties until the business becomes profitable. Can you make it during the times when you have no money? I mean, this could take months or even years. You may have to adjust to a lower standard of living. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing, before you launch out into the deep, to take time to look at your family finances or your personal finances and say, can I really afford to do this? Now, here's a really tough question, ladies. Can you afford to jump off into a business opportunity when you have no emergency fund? Can you afford to jump off into a business opportunity when you have no college fund? Can you afford to jump into a business opportunity when you have not given the proper thought. Like I said, ladies, is entrepreneurship really for you? Why small businesses fail? As I was saying to you, entrepreneurship, is it really for you? Ladies, success in business is never automatic. It isn't strictly based on luck, although a little never hurts. It depends primarily on the owner's foresight and the organization. Even then, there really are no guarantees. Starting a business is always risky, and the chance of success is slim. According to the U.S. Business Administration, over 50% of small businesses fail in the first year, and 95% fail within the first 5 years. In his book, Small Business Management, Michael Ames gives the following reasons for small business failure. The very first one on the list is lack of experience. Ladies, you have to. I mean, even if you have a dream, you have an idea or a business idea or concept, you have to educate yourself. Find people that are smarter than you. The second reason for failure is insufficient capital or money. Usually when I talk to individuals, they tell me, well, I don't have any money, and I find that it's often the number one reason why businesses never make it even to the startup point is because people say they just don't have the money. They use money as a reason for not moving at all. And I'm saying, woman, there is a place that you can move, that you can start, you can launch, you can give birth to your dream and your vision without money. That means that you have to at least write your concept, put it on paper, think about it, ask yourself the hard questions, and then start that dream and put it into action. Number three is poor location. As we say in Marketing 101, location, 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 it's everything. And if you don't do the proper studies, you don't do the proper reports, you don't go to a particular area, if you open a business, you don't see traffic there, you rent a location because it's cheaper, not because it's the best location and you think you can succeed. Or, for instance, you want to go into business and you're baking cookies and you want to compete with Miss Fields or perhaps a well-known cookie company in your neighborhood that is located in the same strip mall that you're in. How are you possibly going to win? So you have to be wise in the type of location that you choose. Number four is poor inventory management. That's really not knowing what you have in your inventory, that you're not getting your product out faster than you're getting your orders, or your inventory is piling up, or you don't know where it is, or it's a mismanagement. Number five is overinvestment in fixed assets. Ladies, what that is, maybe you wanted a Mac when you really just needed a Dell computer. Maybe you wanted the top-notch copy machine with all the bells and the whistles that bound books and all these sorts of things, but you just needed a copy machine that just made copies, or perhaps an all-in-one printer copier because your business just didn't call for it. Or perhaps you bought a fleet of automobiles when you really just needed one. Oftentimes, we're overinvested in our fixed assets. Number six is poor credit arrangements. You don't negotiate the best possible deal. Here's the challenge is that there is one thing that determines your success when it comes to your finances, and that's interest. Interest that you make on money that you lend to others. When you purchase a CD or a money market or mutual fund, you're in essence lending your money to an institution to make money, and then in turn they turn around and pay you interest, where it's your responsibility to get the highest interest that you can. Now, equally so, when we talk about poor credit arrangements as a business, as a new business, is that we don't negotiate because we feel like we're new, I couldn't get anything, or perhaps maybe even in your personal finances that you're not handling your business properly. Maybe your credit score is a 580 when it should be a 680 because of your personal habits. As a new business owner, it is your responsibility often to sign on the dotted line as the guarantor. So you've got to learn how to negotiate the best possible credit arrangements so that they don't cause failure for you in the future. Number seven is personal use of business funds. Is using the business funds for your own personal use rather than for the business-related expenses. Because eventually, you know, it catches up with you. And what that really means is maybe you are paying yourself too much of a salary in the early months of your business. when those funds should be reinvested in your business. Number 8, unexpected growth. And that's a wonderful thing that people say it's a wonderful problem to have, is that, you know, we're getting so much business we can hardly handle it. Well, the problem is if you don't have the proper systems in place, growth can really hurt you and also cause your business to fail, depending on the type of business that you're in. A couple more reasons why our business fail during our early years is that we don't measure the competition. We don't size up or consider our competition. As I gave you that early illustration of being in the wrong location trying to go up against a Miss Fields or a McDonald's when you're a hamburger outfit. Understanding your competition. Understanding what the market requires. Number 10 is low sales. We just don't have the sales. Our model just does not fit, and we cannot create the revenue that's required to keep our business alive. Remember, ladies, why do we go into business? We go into business to stay alive. We want our machine to continue to work. When you think about the businesses that have been around, like General Electric and some of these who have been around for just centuries now and been on the stock exchange, what are they doing? How did they get to this place? How did their dream outlive the founder or the creator or the one who had a dream? How did it keep going? How did it keep moving? Well, that's where we have to get. We have to get to the place where we understand whatever dream that we come up with, it must be bigger than you so that it can survive all of these things that I've shared with you done properly. In addition to that, I didn't share them with you to scare you, but really to prepare you for the rocky road ahead. Underestimating the difficulty of starting a business is one of the biggest obstacles of entrepreneurs. However, success can be yours if you are patient, willing to work hard, and take all the necessary steps. Now, come on, surely, Anna, there's some upside to this, I'm sure somebody's saying right now. If I had the phone lines open, you call in and say, come on, entrepreneurship really isn't all that bad. I started my business. I'm doing really well. Well, I think there's been some great businesses that have started and who are doing well. Some of us have been luckier than others, whether we prepared as I shared or not. We've been very lucky, or we've been people who have planned ahead and prepared and taken all of the necessary steps to have a successful business. Well, in addition to that, some of the great reasons why you can start your business is the fact that you can be your own boss. I mean, who doesn't want to be your own boss? And I think really this statement's really just a misnomer for most of you who really think you're going to be your own boss. You're never your own boss. Why? Because who's always first? The customer. Then you have your staff. Then you have your vendors. Then you have your relationships. Somebody's always telling you what to do. So come on, ladies, let's get real. Often you are not really your own boss. But it's a wonderful thing to believe and have the freedom to believe that you're really the boss here. Because being the boss does bring a few, you know, a few special things like respect and admiration and, you know, people meeting your need and a few other things. Also, hard work and long hours directly benefit you rather than increasing profits for someone else. Now, that's a great thing. Earning and growth potential are far greater because you are a person who can make some decisions. You can bring the right people. And a new venture is as exciting as it is risky. And running a business provides endless challenge and opportunities for learning. So it's a great opportunity. There are great reasons for you to start your business, to launch your business. But think to yourself, is entrepreneurship really for you? Can you risk your family? Can you risk your relationship? Can you risk your income stream based on what you're receiving right now? Are your personal finances in order that you can sign on the dotted line? Have you been really a woman of your word, a woman of excellence, where your word has been kept, that you have agreed to make your payments, that you are not late, but that you are a woman who is trustworthy, who is a woman of character and integrity that can walk into a bank or into a relationship and get credit in order to give birth to your dream? These are the questions. Can you do it, ladies? Would you consider it? And you know what? I'll be looking for you next week as we join again. Next week, we're going to talk about additional things on entrepreneurship and to continue to empower you in giving birth to your dream. I'm going to be talking about, do you have what it takes? Learn if you can be effective in running your own business. We're going to take a little quiz called the Entrepreneurial Test to find out if you really have what it takes to start a business. And then I'm going to give you a checklist for starting a business, some things that you really need to do before you launch out and give birth to that dream or vision. Well, that's it for today, but I want you to stop at our website at annamccoy.com, and you're going to see a number of links that will give you opportunities to go to some of the things that I've talked about, from Small Business Administration to women in business to all sorts of information that will help you to give birth to your dream and your vision. Woman, act now. You know that you can do it. You've been listening to The Anna McCoy Show, where it's all about you, teaching you how to give birth to your dream, your vision, how to start it, how to grow, and how to manage it. Visit our website at annamccoy.com for more information. If you have any questions, call 877-565-0430. Again, you've been listening to Anna McCoy, signing off, waiting to see, waiting to hear, waiting to talk to you next week.
I want to talk to you about. Now I want to talk to you about discovering the kingdompreneur in you, the business of life, of taking all that you have learned and then begin to move about and really begin to seek for the dream and the vision that God desires for you to have. There were a few business owners here, but there are more of us who are working for other people. But how many of you have a dream and a vision in your heart? How many of you really believe that God gave you the dream? How many of you believe that you will accomplish the dream before you die? Boy, those hands. See, y'all need to let my questions finish. People were like, how many of you really believe that you will accomplish the dream before you die? How many of you have a dream that's bigger than you? You can tell when a dream is bigger than you when you can go to sleep and others are living off your dream. Bill Gates had a dream bigger than him. Richmond and Anna McCoy had a dream bigger than them. We have about 40 people who work in our company that are employees. And then we have, oh my God, we have hundreds of vendors. When we started our company in 98, we made a commitment. We are a minority-owned and controlled company. Made a commitment that we would get minority vendors to take care of our properties. We have 28 properties around the country. And the highest value of one is $80 million. It's in Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia. And we made a commitment when we first started. Some of the properties we were purchasing, they were 95% vendor-owned by other types of companies, other than minority-owned companies. 5%. Today, 65% of the people who service our company are minority-owned vendors. Now, the reason why that's important, more than your applause, is that when you give birth to a dream, and your dream begins to work, then you are positioned for power. See, power made that decision to create opportunities for minorities who have dreams and visions. What was it that made the decision? Power. A man in power, in leadership, who had a heart to empower others who were like himself. They're not all black. They could be Asian. They could be something. But they're minority businesses. Power. So this session is about you discovering the kingdompreneur in you, that dream and that vision that you have, so that you can really do what you need to do. First things first is understanding what is a kingdompreneur. Kingdompreneur is one who will take the godly calculated risk to achieve the vision and destiny that God has ordained for his or her life, yielding their gifts, their resources, and ideas to build kingdom business. The key and operative word in being a kingdompreneur versus just being an entrepreneur based on the world standards is the word yield. Is yielding your resources, yielding your gifts, yielding your talents, yielding your ideas so that you can give birth to a kingdom business. In the real reality that you need some money to achieve God's purpose in your life. And I'm not talking about you need money to start your business, because you can start your business with no money. Most people don't start their business because they don't have money. Most people never get past what their vision is, past just that one little idea. When I said, how many of you have a dream and an idea, you all raise your hand. And that's where many of those dreams and ideas will stay. It's just that, an idea. Because the greatest barrier for most people shouldn't be for kingdom people, because God's given us a formula on how to give birth to a dream. And the first part of the formula that the world understands too is write your vision. Write your vision. That is probably the most difficult thing for any of us to do, is just sit down, write the vision. How many of you of those dreams and visions have written the vision? You got financial projections in that vision? How many of you have done your financials to the vision? Oh, I'm shrinking. Where are you? Come back. Why? Because that's the most difficult part. Most of us don't understand finances when it comes to our business. Well, let me help you. If you have an idea and it requires that you must do something, okay? You've got to do something in order to do the thing you want to do. You've got to quantify, meaning that you've got to put a money value on what you want to do. So now you have expenses, you have liabilities, expenses, and you're going to have income. Income, expenses. Income, expenses. That's the formula. How are you going to create revenue or income that will take care of the expenses that will create the opportunity of what you want to do? Did you all get it? So whatever your idea is, you've got to be able to quantify the idea to say, how much is it going to cost me to do this? That means start putting all of the pieces in place before you ever turn the switch. Some of us like to just jump off and holler, we got a dream, I started a business, but you have done nothing. Don't get quiet on me. Entrepreneur. An entrepreneur has a man-made vision. A kingdompreneur has a God-given vision. I asked you, how do you know that God gave you the vision? And don't be fooled. Just because he gave it to you doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Okay? The distinction is it my thing or is it God's thing? Because if God gave it to you, you've got some work to do. The distinction, entrepreneur, kingdompreneur, man-made vision, God-given vision. Entrepreneurs are created based on gifts, human gifts, and skills. You ask the person, what are you? People say, well, I'm an entrepreneur. What's that? I mean, it's become a real buzzword in this last 10 years, entrepreneurs, you know, anybody can be an entrepreneur, everybody's an entrepreneur, but what really is it? Entrepreneurs have human skills and gifts. That means I do something really well. Any entrepreneurial book you might read, a marketing book or management book, they start saying, you know, are you really cut out to be an entrepreneur? Are you willing to work with others? Can you... Are you you disciplined. They start going down the list of all these things that you should be if you're interested in being what? An entrepreneur. A kingdompreneur, ideas, dreams, and visions received as a revelation. You say, I've got a dream. I've got a vision. Is it a revelation? How is it going to help someone else? You never go into business for you. If you did, we all have one-person-owned businesses. You don't go into business for you. You go into business for other people. How many people want to go into business in here? Quite a few of you. Some of you are intrapreneurs. You don't have necessarily a dream, but you know you got some skills and some talents that can help someone else, right? And now those for those of you, you've got to figure out, when you're giving your gifts and talents to the entrepreneur sitting next to you, how do you get a little piece of the equity? See, this is all about a mind change. You know, at certain stages in your life, you don't work for people. You want to own something. Well, even if it's just a little piece, let me own something. You know, I don't just want to keep doing this, and especially when you're trying to get a new business off the ground. You want to make sure that, can I own something? What can I do? And maybe a vesting period. Now, Shauna owns a little piece of Jabez's family of companies. Now, if it ever busts wide open, it may be down the road, you know, like with the radio program, all that's owned by Jabez's family of companies. My talent is owned by Jabez's family of companies. So she owns a little bit of Anna. So whatever I do, as I begin to expand and explode in revenues on the ministry side, you know that can happen to you overnight. I seen it. She owns a piece of the pie. Why? Because she dedicated 3 years of her life to helping me give birth to the dream. You gotta own. It's not a huge piece, but you know the revenues can get pretty huge. That little piece starts to look real big for her. So are you negotiating properly? So it's okay if you don't have a dream or a vision, but you've got some talent, you've got some gifts that are going to help someone else achieve the dream and the vision, and you've got to learn how to what? Negotiate those talents. Entrepreneurs, they're fulfilled by staying ahead of others. There's a competitive spirit. There's a wonderful book called Blue Ocean Strategy. I cannot remember the author's name, but it's called Blue Ocean Strategy. If you are a person that is really excited about business, you want to own your own business, you need to get the book. If you have that dream or vision inside of you, you need to be thinking from the side of a blue ocean. We live in an economy where there's red oceans all around us. At one point in time, let's take technology. Let's take the internet. The internet was a blue ocean. There was nothing really going on. We could look out in the, you know, out in the horizon and see the beautiful blue opportunity. Now it's a red ocean. The reason why it's turned red is because there's been competition. There's been backbiting. There's been slashing. There's been all sorts of things. Now the ocean is red. But even looking at the red ocean, you have to have a mindset to say, I can do something with this, but bring a blue ocean strategy to it. You know, it's kind of like building a better mousetrap. And that's your mindset. So whatever your dream is, whatever your vision is, you need to, your mind has got to change. You've got to see it differently than what someone else has seen. Blue ocean strategy tells us that America, when you write that business plan, the one thing that's going to happen is find out who all your competitors are. And what it does, it causes you to benchmark yourself against other people rather than saying, wait a minute, there's a whole nother blue ocean out there. I'm not saying don't do your due diligence, but I'm saying get your mind prepared for the dream, the idea, the vision that's a revelation to you that you believe came from God, and don't pigeonhole it in what's already been done. Because it may look like something else. But where does it come from? It comes from God. You become a kingdompreneur because you want to be fulfilled through obedience. I said entrepreneurs are fulfilled when they compete and they beat others. You become a kingdompreneur because you want to be fulfilled through obedience. Now, some of the success in our lives, it didn't happen just by happenstance. It happened as a result of obedience. Many of the deals we got into, many of the opportunities, it was God said, call him now. Pick up the phone right now. Call him now. Even in trying to do this radio program, I was doing my research and I sent all my stuff out to ABC, to Radio One, to all these. And I had a package sitting on Radio One's Senior Vice President Zamara Jones' desk. And I'd been calling just the answer machine. And I'm telling you, I was sitting at my desk and the Spirit said, call him right now. It was a Friday afternoon. It was 5:34. He says, call him right now. I picked up the phone. Hello? I said, hey, Zamara, how you doing? Do you hear what I'm saying? I said, I knew you were going to be in there. The Spirit of the Lord told me you was up in there and your secretary was gone. He said, yeah, my secretary is gone. I said, yeah, how you doing? Did you get my package? But understand what I'm saying, ladies. It comes, you're fulfilled through what? Obedience when you're about doing the business of the Father. You're talking about the business of life and getting your life together. Yeah, this is a part of the process if there's a dream and a vision in your heart. You've got to know when to what? When to do it, when to respond, when to call. Entrepreneurs see similar organizations as competitors. Kingdompreneurs see similar organizations as complementary. What I mean by that is you're constantly, right now you've got a dream and a vision in your heart, but you won't speak it. You won't say it. And your answer is sitting next to you. What amazes me about when we come to church, at any given time, you have anywhere from about, depending on where you're sitting, if you're not sitting on the front row, you have 5 to 7 people that you can touch. Now, you might stop at 3, but you have 5 to 7 people that you can touch, that you can speak a vision, you can speak your dream, that 1 second, 20 seconds. I say, hi, how you been doing? I would want you to know you're loved and appreciated. What do you do? See, she's not ready. She got scared on me. Huh? Is that a real question? Or maybe she's just doing something. What do you do? Who's got that 20 second together? What do you do? I come up to you, most people, because we're in public, they know what we do. They know, and I come to you, you know the Lord put you on my heart and I want to bless you. What do you do? You're what? A food service administrator. Well, that's what you do. That's not, right, who you are. What's God's, you got a dream, a vision that God's given you?
One day I would like to be an evangelist.
How can I help you?
You can help me by giving me some direction.
So you've got to be ready. Well, send me an email, girl. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to be ready. That person might be next to you. And I come to you and I say, you tell me, you know, I have a dream about, you know, owning a business that would be like a concierge service. I'm really good at managing events, managing people, helping them, because maybe you're an executive assistant and you've been doing that and you got your stuff together. Now it's time for you to take it to the next level. Can you get more than one customer like your boss? Can you seek some others out who need some help? So here I am. Okay, well, my business is, you know, I have a company called Super Suppers. Y'all heard of that? Got 30 of them right here in Dallas. It'll help you feed your family a meal at least once or twice a week. Fresh food, ladies, fresh food. But I come to you and I say, you know what? I own a business. It's Super Suppers. Danetta, or Danette, close enough. I come to you, Danette, and I say to you, I own Super Suppers. But you in your heart, you had this dream or vision about being an executive assistant for more than one person, concierge, something, delivery, Are you ready for me?
Yes.
How?
Help with your scheduling and keeping everybody in line so you don't schedule too many at one time.
Okay, what about part of your business is a delivery service, and one of the major problems I have with my business is that women are working and I really need somebody who can help me. They can fulfill the orders and deliver them to their home. Come on. Thank goodness they're not videotaping it. Come on. Come on, you're too slow. You don't have a dream. You don't have a vision. And I'm not saying that that was your vision. I'm saying that's how we respond. We're not ready. You need to be ready, ladies. You need to be listening. You need to be conscious. You need to be awake. You got to wake up. Your opportunities are all around you. And you're asleep. Remember I said that you've got to sharpen your saw. You have to become a master. You have to become a master at what you do. Okay. Like I was saying, you have to become a master at what you do. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready to take advantage of the opportunity. Entrepreneurs aim to grow the organization and generate revenue. Now, I want you to know that you go into business as a kingdompreneur to make some money, okay? Let's be clear. However, your aim is to serve people and advance God's directives. See, we have never prayed for money. Lord, please give us more money. We never prayed for money. And you say, girl, that's because y'all got money. Yeah, but we got money, but we still need more money to accomplish the things that we do and also take care of the responsibilities that we have. We take care of families, our families, my family, his family. Everybody's got needs. People not handling their business properly. I'd be like, Lord, please don't let them call me. I'd be like, you call them to say hi? Hey, I ain't talked to you in a long time. I was like, uh-oh. Disconnect. You know what's coming. But at the end of the day, and every time we have to rescue someone in our family, we look at each other and we just say, Lord, keep blessing us. Just can you keep blessing us? Can you keep telling us what to do? See, we never pray for money. We always pray for obedience. See, because if you really want to birth that dream or vision, God will do it like that. He'll tell you, but your ears have to be ready to hear what he has to say. It will be spoken through other people. It'll be spoken. You'll see something on television and you say, oh, that's what I need to do. You'll see or you'll be talking to someone and someone will say, that's just, yes! But those ears have to be ready to hear. Entrepreneurs' stress may emerge both inwardly and outwardly. You know why? Because you're trying to do this all by yourself. All I'm trying to do is nothing wrong with being an entrepreneur. I'm just trying to identify for you, create a distinction about being a kingdompreneur, a kingdom-minded individual that will pursue the dream and the vision that God wants you to have. Everything is about a word. Do you understand? It is a frame of reference. It is a frame of mind. So if I can get you with the right words inside of you, that's why the word talent is important, not employee. Are you hearing me? I'm an employee. I work. But if you begin to see yourself as a what? A talent with gifts, skills, imagination, creativity, all of those things inside of you, you start looking at things a little bit differently. So it's about the words. So as an entrepreneur, there's an outwardly and an inwardly battle, that there's no peace. But see, with entrepreneurs, you're accompanied by inward peace and outward opposition. See, there's a big difference. You know that the things on the outside are barriers, there are oppositions, but it is the inward peace inside of you, the inward vision inside of you that will help you to what? Overcome them. They will come, people. You will have to deal with some issues. Don't think we just gonna get it like that. It's just how we deal with what we deal with. The sixth thing for entrepreneurs. Remember, entrepreneurs, man-made vision, kingdompreneurs, God-given vision. Entrepreneurs may change often. They look for the best opportunity in seeking fulfillment. Broken down, you can't stay focused. How many businesses have you started in the last 5 years? How many businesses have made any money in the last 5 years? How many businesses are just sitting on a desk in the last 5 years? Get yourself in the right position. Change your mind and say, who do I belong to? Who is your CEO? Who is your wise counsel? Get yourself in position. And I'm not saying don't be this, but I've clearly identified one from the other. And what I mean, for you, I encourage you to pursue kingdom business, kingdom opportunity. And then you won't run over here. You won't run over there. Any network market, multi-level marketing people in here? Y'all scared to identify yourself, aren't you? You think I'm going to talk about you. But I'm going to encourage you. How many Noni juices, go-go juices, vitamins, something? Yeah, you know you're in here. See, because this kind of crowd don't come here unless they've been pursuing some opportunity. It's two people in here that are multi-level marketing people. No one else has done this. Oh, okay, well, how many of y'all have looked into, how about that? Save a few of you while we're at it. A little altar call here. How many of you have looked into multi-level marketing as an opportunity? Don't be scared. I knew y'all was in here. They're everywhere. Well, let me encourage you. Whatever opportunity, the great thing about multi-level marketing is you have a system in place. But with every system, you must work the system to get results. So if you pop from one opportunity to the next, you're just not sure about what you want to do, but you know you want to do something. And so if you have that thing inside of you that can stick to it for a period of time, then you'll see yourself with one of the diamonds in one of the diamond gold clubs or whatever, because it really does work. I believe in 10 years, the projection is that there will be over 10,000 millionaires created, and most of them will be created through multi-level marketing. Now, will it be you? It won't be you if you can't stick to it. If you're selling go-go juice or go whatever it's called, something I saw the other day, made me want to buy some. I didn't know. Some Noni juice. Noonie? Noni? Whatever. You know, a few vitamins. My God, they got all sorts of multi-level marketing. Hey, anybody need, if y'all need some gas or some light or something, we got some multi-level marketing for that. Understand, wherever there is a deregulated industry, you will see multi-level marketing pop up. I believe in Texas we have electricity, so some of y'all might get involved with that. Maybe, oh, that's what they were talking about. Next thing will be gas. All of those are transfers of wealth, by the way. But, ladies, it won't work for you if you don't stick to it. Now, remember what I said is that your aim, it's not about money. When you do what you're supposed to do, money comes to you. Your aim is to serve people and also to further God's directive. Okay? Ultimately, I said that entrepreneurs, they are constantly looking for other opportunities. Kingdompreneurs, they become committed, compelled, and captivated to complete the vision until fulfilled. What did I say? Committed, compelled, and captivated to complete the vision until fulfilled. Let me get you ladies to make a commitment. If you have a dream and a vision in your heart, first thing you need to do is you need to write your vision. Second thing is you need to be careful about who you speak your vision to. Why I got so many claps on that? But you don't think that's true when it comes to writing your vision? She be like all up in our face. Mm-hmm. What is it? Write your vision, speak your vision, or tell a vision. Turn that into your television. Your television. Keep watching over that vision, making sure that your words are performed. You tell your vision. As you begin to tell your vision, you are careful about who you tell that vision to, because you are committed, you're compelled, you're captivated by the vision until it is fulfilled. Now, here's the test. How many other visions have you started? How many? And I'm not saying you can't work on two or three at the same time, because I'm definitely working on, we're multitasking some visions here. Okay, don't, I'm not saying, well, she only said I could work on one at a time. No, I'm just saying whatever vision you really feel that God has given you, the God-given vision, and he can give you several. Are you committed? Are you compelled? Are you truly captivated? We don't often use a word like obsessive or an obsession. You must have an obsession about your dream, about your vision. See, obsession will make you pursue the thing. It'll make you talk. It'll make you pick up the phone one more time. It'll make you go to the next one when they said no. An obsession says, I've got to get this thing done. But now here's the key, ladies. When do you know that maybe this really isn't the vision? You know, some people keep trying. Anybody see American Inventor? Y'all need to watch that show. Okay, just watch it for your own mental. You got to watch it. You see these people, they're so passionate. I mean, some of them are like the people in Apollo. They just kind of look like they put them in there. But some have some real passion to see this thing through. Just like they tell them, how is this going to benefit other people? Now, I see this as a nice little invention. How's your dream or vision going to serve other people? Because it really is about other people. You just won, okay? Let me help you. I'm just one. There are many of you. What am I doing here today? I'm speaking to many of you. I couldn't have this conversation with myself and get as much pleasure. But do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, but all this feedback you've given me, I mean, you know, things are happening. But nothing you do is about you. Nothing. Zippo is about you. And your passions have to be directed to the right things in order to get what God wants you to have. You're going to listen to God's word or your five senses? Five senses are like the entrepreneur. God's word is like the God-given vision. As you respond to either God's word or your five senses, you'll respond, and whatever you respond to, your passions will drive your actions. Your actions will draw to you things. Those things will create habits in your life, circumstances in your life that will ultimately crystallize into your destiny. What do you want? Your word, your destiny. Your five senses, your destiny. It's up to you. Will you be a woman after God's very own heart? Will you be a woman that will fully obey him like Caleb? He says, give Caleb his portion because he fully obeyed me. Of all the things I pursue in life, obedience is my highest aim. Because I know if I obey, If success has got to render itself to me. Because every work I commit unto the Lord, and surely success will follow. Amen. God bless you.